Hey, everybody, welcome to Commercial Construction Elevate, the industry podcast series. I'm your host, Dave Presida. And this is the last episode of season three. It's called Common Questions and Concerns in Commercial Construction. We've done this for every season, and I'm looking forward to it. I would, however, ask you to, at the end of this podcast, to go to my website, adicorp.com, A-D-I-C-O-R-P. com, and let me know what you think about the podcast, what you would like to change about the podcast, if anything, and potential content that you would like to hear about in the future. I always said that if I continued to enjoy doing this and I added value, then I would keep doing it. Now, I asked my SEO guy, and he's a great guy, and he says you got thousands and thousands of downloads. It doesn't mean anything to me. What means the most to me is what you think. And if you have 2 minutes, go to adicorp.com, A-D-I-C-O-R-P.com, and let me know what you think. That will help drive my decision to do a season four. Thanks and enjoy the episode. Hey, everybody, welcome to Commercial Construction Elevate, the industry podcast. I'm your host, Dave Presida, and I got to tell you, it's the end of season three, and here we go again. Common questions in commercial construction, I dare you to say that fast five times, is something that I really enjoy for a couple reasons. I love talking about the business, number one, and two, I don't have to prepare anything. Seriously, these are questions about the industry that I get to try and answer, and I hope I do a good job. Anyway, we're gonna get started right away. Question number one, I'm starting a business, and in one of your podcasts, you mentioned passion. Where should I draw the line between passion and the reality of building a successful business? Well, that's a great question, and I'm gonna refer you to the Don Freeze episode because he talks exactly about this. He's a consultant, if you will, a coach, a business coach, a leadership coach. And he talks about the biggest challenge he has when somebody is super passionate about their business is they sometimes let the passion of doing it get in the way of the how to do it. And he talks about 501c3s, which are nonprofits in particular, and people are so hell-bent on getting done what they're doing and getting the message out about their new idea that they don't realize sometimes it takes a pragmatic approach. So I would say this, make sure that you have a business plan, make sure you run it by people who are not concerned with you personally, but can give you good insight into, is this a good business plan? Does it make sense? They're going to ask you hard questions. A, why do you want to do it? B, does it take care of your personal needs? C, is there a greater good? Okay, because without A, B, or C, nothing else matters. You got to be concerned about cash flow. You can have the best idea in the world, and if it's not cash flowed right, it's going to fail. It could be the best idea, and it doesn't matter. So get good advice from people who have been where you want to go, and you'll be off to the races. Question number two, how has work from home, yes, COVID, how has that element impacted the construction business? Well, I would say that it's had an impact on every business. In construction in particular, there's two basic elements of the workforce. One is in the field and one is in the office. There's your project managers, estimators, and administrative staff, and then there's the field crew. Now, obviously, you're not going to work from home if you're in the field, right? So that's not what you're asking. You're asking, how has the construction business been impacted from people who want to work at home? And I would say in a huge way. I work with several companies, and they're all facing the same thing. They want to grow their internal workforce. Forget about the external stuff, because that's a whole nother topic. But internally, right, people who can work from home. First, you got to find them, you got to hire them. And part of what people want today, in particular young people, is the ability to at least work part-time from home. And I'm all for it, personally. Some people You know, the old school folks, maybe not, because they think that if you're, you know, working from home, that you're screwing off. That's not the case. Look at the time one saves by not commuting to and from work, number one. Look at the attitude they have because they're working where they want to work from. Now, I am the first one to say it's important to get with your peers, to get with your clients. And I say, get belly up, because there's nothing like building relationships face to face. But you don't have to do that every single day. So I'm all for working from home. I think it needs to be managed. And it's another skill that today's managers need to possess. They need to embrace it, understand it, and I think it'll work for them. Next question. I'm having trouble with subcontractors. Their work ethic is great, but their quality is not. How can I improve that? And that's a tough one because, you know, just let's talk about subs in general. You get companies who do nothing but subcontract work. Now, why would you subcontract work? Number one is if you can get a subcontractor to do it for below your budget, then you lock in your price. But that does not absolve you from responsibility. If they fail, or if they fail to build whatever they're doing the right way and the quality control is off, you own the problem. So if you've paid them 85% and it was a $100,000 contract, right? And there's a $50,000 problem. There's a big difference between what it's going to cost you to fix it and what you've already paid. So it is not the panacea to have subcontractors. They have to be managed as well. Now, there's two types of subs. One sub wants to get paid by the hour. Very tough. And I would only use them in a pinch. But if you get a subcontractor who can actually bid the job and understand what they're bidding, and a lot of that is on you, the buyer. Right? Do they understand what they're getting into? And I say this over and over with subs. I say, look, I'm not here to hoodwink you. And if you don't know what that means, that means to get over on you. Because that's only a short-term thing. In time, that same subcontractor is going to be coming back with their hand out. Hey, I can't do it for this. So you better educate the sub. Make sure they know what they're getting into. Now that they're on a job, how can you manage the quality control? You have to have somebody on that job, you know, several times a week, making sure that the quality is where it's supposed to be. You need to make their payments commensurate with their ability to build what you build. Maybe contingent is the better word. Make it contingent on your acceptance of the work. Make sure you have in your subcontract with a subcontractor that getting paid is not necessarily accepting the work. You're going to get that by any major subcontractor. If you pay attention and don't pretend in your own mind that things are okay, right, you will be okay. You'll be fine. But it has to be managed. You have to have cost in there for your own people to go in and make sure it's getting done right. All right, we're going to take a short break, then we'll talk to you in a minute. Hey everybody, I'm Dave Presida, president of Adecor Construction Services, LLC, and I would love to talk to you business owners about your business. I bet you most of you that are listening have at least 75% of your personal equity tied up in the business. If you care about options on how to get that money out, that's what I want to talk to you about, because I've been through it. I was a business owner and I sold my business. Didn't even know there was a buyer, but there are plenty of them. There has never been a better time. Never been a better time than now to sell your business. So maybe you haven't even thought about it. The last deal I did, I talked to him, I said, do you ever consider selling your business? He goes, didn't know I could. Well, yes, you can. There's a lot of options. I would urge you to go to my website, adecorp.com, adicorp.com, my last name spelled backwards, and go to season one podcast, episode 2, sales and acquisitions. It's going to answer a lot of questions you might have. Yes, we talk about how you value your company, but that's only one piece, right? We're talking about why you would sell, who would buy it, common concerns about you, your staff, your clients, your legacy, all important things to discuss. So go and listen to that podcast and then contact me. Either call me or leave a message on my contact page on the website and I will get back to you because, as I said when I started, I look forward to talking to you about your business between now and then. Stay safe and stay tuned. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is one of my favorite topics, common questions and concerns in commercial construction. And the next question, what surprised you about commercial construction that you didn't anticipate? Man, that's a really good question. I think I was surprised, and it's going to sound weird, I was surprised at how simple it was to get into business. And you would might ask, well, what surprises you about, you know, how it was so simple? Well, I was a physical education teacher, and I didn't know insulation from plywood, but I knew how to sell and I knew how to build relationships with people. I was surprised how simple it was to learn the intricacies of the business, right? The nuances. It didn't take me long. Now, it didn't take me long to learn about business because I surrounded myself with people. When I got in business, I got partners who knew what they were doing. They were second generation owners. They had processes. Remember, I used to line the kids up in the morning and we would do, we'd play softball or we'd do something else in phys ed. I had no idea how to build a business, but I learned because I had the sense to get with people who knew what I didn't. So again, what surprised me? How simple it was to learn. I'm going to say this to everybody in commercial construction. You can learn everything that you need, right? If you have the right people teaching you and the right environment, the right platform to learn. There's nothing exotic about it. There's nothing strange about it. It's simple and it takes time. So if you want to be a business owner, I know I'm getting off the subject a little bit, but if you want to be a business owner, there's nothing except the why that you have to figure out, because there's no secrets in this business. There's, again, you don't need a big education. I am indicative of that, but you got to have good common sense. So again, to answer the question, what surprised me when I learned that construction is the number one wealth building vehicle in the country. I did not know that. And I didn't pick construction. It kind of picked me, right? But those things you should, you know, you can take to the bank. It's simple. It's not easy. Next question. What things do you see in the industry that hold people back from advancing? Yeah, that question could be asked of anyone in any single industry. What holds people back in general is A, their lack of purpose, their lack of confidence, their inability or desire not to fail. Because I know a couple things for sure. If you are getting into business, you need to be passionate about what you're doing. You have to have a purpose. You have to have a plan. You got to be able to look at failures as temporary setbacks, as building blocks to success. Every single person that I've interviewed in this podcast and every person who maybe our society would deem successful has had setbacks. You can't get to the top of the mountain, so to speak, without getting tired every once in a while and falling down. It happens. But what holds people back in the industry is the same thing that holds people back in life. And I just mentioned what they are. So if you want to get ahead in this industry, know why, figure out how, have the confidence to do it, get through, you know, some of the setbacks, and you will find out that you will end up where you want to be. Were you ever hired for a position or role that you weren't ready for, and how did you handle it? Well, it was a long time before I was actually hired, and it was, you know, it was after I sold my business. So I'm going to take it back a step. I'm going to say, was I ever in a position in this business that I wasn't ready for? And I will say absolutely yes. And I remember a guy named Ed, good friend, looked at me, I was probably 28, 29 in New York City, getting work in high-rise buildings, and he was one of the buyers, and he looked at me and he goes, "You're not even scarred yet. Look at you. You're like a kid." And I was. But he said it, and it resonates to this day. I wasn't even scarred yet because I hadn't been through any major issues. Well, you know, I was in the business for 10 years, and I was riding high, and I thought it was, and like I said before, it's simple, but it's not easy. I went through my first downturn in business, and I had a ton of work. Nobody wanted to finish. I was leveraged. I said in prior podcasts that being leveraged, like owing other people money, in this case, it was the bank money, that you are, you know, not only indebted to them literally, but figuratively as well. The bank decided one day that it was going to call the loan, which means they gave me 90 days to repay just about $2 million. And it was a very, very difficult position. Was I ready for it? No. What happened? Well, I had to get ready for it. I did it. I figured it out. But that was a tough time. You know, so I can only imagine, you know, people get hired for a position, a role they're not ready for. It has failure written all over it. Being discontented. It has the potential for you to become jaded and, you know, blame other people for it. Listen, if you get in a position that you're not ready for, get out of it and start over. Don't ever be untrue to yourself. Understand, I think the best advice I can give people is know what you don't know. The most successful people in life know what they don't know. And if you have to retrench, retool, restart, renovate, whatever you want to call it, just do it. I've had jobs where I could have retired. I could have retired at a specific job. I can remember it. It wasn't too long ago. But I didn't. I left because, you know, I wasn't ready for it. I was past it, right? So you can be not ready for a role or you can be beyond the role. At that point in time, I was beyond it. I was not learning anymore. I wasn't growing anymore. That's when it was time for me to leave. So again, retool if you need to. Step back to take two steps forward. That would be my advice. All right, we're going to take another short break and we'll be back in a minute. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Next question. As a business owner, how do you attract and keep good people? That is the question of the day. Maybe a question that business owners ask themselves every day. You know, it's easy to get jaundiced, if that's the right word, about, you know, who's on your staff. But to attract and keep good people, the first person you have to look at is you, right? You got to look in the mirror. Am I attracting good people because A, I have a good business plan. B, I'm pleasant, right? And people see me as a way that they can succeed with my help. Do I want to join this company because I like the ethics? I like the environment. I like what this person is selling me. Remember, when you're hiring somebody, yeah, it's a sales pitch, like it or not. And it doesn't mean it has to be phony. It means it has to be sincere. People can sense sincerity. If you know exactly what you want, you'll find that person and you'll find them the right way. Okay? If you have to talk somebody into the job, you know what you say? Next. If you have somebody who is looking for similar things that you have to offer, then you've got a good way, a good chance to attract that person. Be sincere. Be honest. Know your weakness. Share your weakness if there are any. If you're a business and if I were interviewing today and someone said, "Yeah, it's great here. We got it." And if it was a perfect scenario, I would question it. At the same time, if you're going to interview and somebody says, you know, we're in trouble. Well, you know, you're probably not going to attract good people if you're in trouble. However, if you have a good plan, a good model, and you need somebody with the talent of the person you're talking to, tell them why. Let them know in no uncertain terms why you need somebody like them and what they can do for the business. They can add one-on-one together, right, to understand their value ultimately and where they might be able to go. Be able to paint the right picture to attract the right people. Now, how do you keep them? That's a whole different ballgame. You better be honest with them every single day. Don't tell them what they want to hear. Tell them what they need to hear. Set the right example. Be the person that they look up to, that respect. They don't have to always agree with you, but you keep good people if they have faith in you and what you're doing. Be honest about where you see them today and in the future. If you blow their skirts up, if you will, early on and things don't happen that fast, you're going to be, you know, looking at some disgruntled people. I think you want to be realistic. Let them know that there's a future. If there is, let them know. Make sure they know they're more likely to stay. Now, of course, you know, compensation and all, we're assuming that that all gets worked out. If you're a company that has benefits, make sure they know, because people care about benefits. Are they allowed to work from home, right? How can you help them achieve what they want to achieve in your business? That's what's going to keep good people. So communicate, and again, sincerity, honesty every single day. Ooh, this is a good one. What risks have you taken in commercial construction recently? None. And I, you know, when I say that, I'm not proud of that. And recently, I'm talking about the last maybe 2 or 3 years, but things are changing. Okay, my eyes are open, and life evolves, and so do I. I can say this, since 2008, I've made a few major changes because the passion in what I was doing wasn't there. I have now, you know, 3 years into a couple different things, and, you know, it's probably time to make a change, and I can tell you that I have zero concerns about doing it. And when it's the right time, I will. And, you know, I just working with the company now, and we had some staff changes and some people left. And one might think, well, you know, you as a being a big part of that management team, why didn't you talk them into staying? I didn't want to talk anybody into doing anything, because that, you know, that you're talking about risk, right? That is a risk in itself. I tell people, and I live by this, take risks when it makes sense. So leaving a job and going to another job is a risk, because, you know, there's the unknown. But, you know, I encourage them. I said, if we can't keep you here, and I was very, you know, sober about the future and their future in the business, this is what I see for you. If it's not enough, or if you're package at the next place is that much better, then I would urge you to go. And two key people left. So you asked me what risk I've taken in the last 3 years. None. And I don't need to, but I'm going to, because I want to stay passionate about what it is I do, and I'll find out what that is, and you'll be the first to know. So I fell into construction, and I don't see anything that I'm passionate about. There's that word again. But I love the industry in general. I'm in it, and I'm doing well. What do I need to do to find my passion? Well, you know, it's more fulfilling a passion doesn't have to be with what you do every day, right? I think the passion can be described as something that is part of you. And maybe it's just to be really good at what you do. Maybe what you do, like me, when I got in insulation back in, well, way back when, I said I didn't know a lot about insulation. And I wasn't passionate about insulation, but I was passionate about what the business that revolved around insulation could afford me. And that's a combination of time and money. Maybe it's not what you do, but what you get out of what you do. Right? Do you have time to do the things you want to do? Do you feel good when you wake up in the morning? Are you respected by your clients, by your peers, by your vendors? Right? All of that means something. So maybe it's not that, oh, you might be a project manager. Okay, you're not passionate about going to the job every other day and arguing with the general contractor and doing things that maybe other people would not do because they would be uncomfortable. Maybe that's not what you have to be passionate about. Maybe the passion is you get paid really well, so you can have a good lifestyle. You spend time with your wife and kids, right? You can do what you want to do. You know you have a secure future. That's a good thing. And maybe that's what you get out of the industry. So don't feel like you got to get up every day and be super excited about what you do. But you better know why you're doing it, and it better be strong. Next question. What do you think is the most important skill or quality to lead a team? That's funny you asked that question, because I asked the same thing to one of our interviewees. Yes, I'm the interviewer. They were the interviewee. It was Don Fries. And I asked him, what's the biggest quality in leadership? And his answer was that great leaders know what they don't know. I talked about that already in an earlier answer, but I'm going to say it this way. A great leader is one who inspires and influences others in a positive way. Now, that could be in the construction business or any business. You could be a dad or a mom or a sister, brother, a friend. You could be a good leader on a team, right? Somebody that is respected by others because, I said this before, you set the right example. You are what others want to be. You inspire them to be better. It's like a catalyst on a basketball team, you know? Yeah, he's a great player. But does he make those around him better? Well, if the answer is yes, then that is a mark of a true leader. So again, to answer your question, to be able to inspire others and influence others to become better no matter what they do is what I think makes a good leader. So in closing, here we are at the end of season 3. Commercial construction, elevate the industry. You know, I've had people ask me over the course of this podcast, you know, how you doing, why you doing it. Well, like I said before, as long as I enjoy it, and I think you can hear it in my voice, I enjoy sharing my stories and my experience with you. And as long as that happens, and I feel like I'm adding value, I'm going to keep doing it. So I want to thank you again for joining us. In between now and then, stay safe and stay tuned. So follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Elevate Industry. Check out my YouTube channel at Commercial Construction, Elevate the Industry. Visit my website, adicorp.com, adicorp.com. Go to LinkedIn, search for David Proceda, hit connect and follow me. Please rate, review, and comment on this episode, and I look forward to seeing you next week.